All right, welcome to the deep dive. We love to go deep, right? And you're here because I think you love it too. You want to really understand this stuff. You want to see how it all connects, but you don't want to drown in all the technical jargon. You want to actually apply this to your life. Today, we are going to dive into a concept that's like the bedrock of the whole Christian faith. It's called union with Christ.
Yeah, it seems a little like, something theologians would argue about in a dusty library somewhere. But
Right.
it's actually way more practical and relevant than you might think.
Yeah.
It impacts how you live your faith every single day.
It does.
So we're going to draw on some insights from Dr. Robert A. Peterson. He has a great teaching series on salvation, and specifically we're looking at session two, which is all about the application of salvation and, as you guessed it, union with Christ.
Yeah, that's where the rubber meets the road, right? Like, how does this stuff actually become real for us?
Yeah, so that's our mission for today. What does this union actually mean? Why is it so important? And what difference does it make in your life?
Okay, so to get our bearings, Peterson kind of lays out the whole salvation thing, this amazing story, in four stages. So first, you've got God's plan, right? The
Yeah,
blueprint.
the big picture.
Yeah. And that includes things like election. Then comes God's accomplishment, Jesus's life, death, resurrection, ascension, the main event, right?
Yeah, it's the climax of the story.
Exactly. And then the part we're really diving into today is God's application. Like, how does all that Jesus did, how does that actually become real in our lives?
Right. It's like, okay, so that happened 2,000 years ago, but what does it mean for me today?
Yeah. And right in the middle of that application stage is this idea of union with Christ, along with things like being called to faith, being born again.
All those good things.
Yeah. And then finally, the story wraps up with God's consummation. That's eternal life, glory.
The grand finale.
Right. It's the happy ending, so to speak. But you see, union with Christ isn't just this nice little add-on, it's not optional.
Right. It's not like, oh, you can choose to have union with Christ or not. It's like the core, it's essential to how God makes his saving work real for you.
It's the pipeline.
It is. I was going to say, imagine you've got this fantastic power source, right? Like, tons of energy just waiting to be used. That's Christ's work on the cross.
Okay.
And union with Christ is like the power cord that connects that power source to your device.
Oh, I like that.
So it allows you to actually tap into that energy. Without the connection, all that power, it just does nothing for you.
Yeah.
So we're going to look at how that connection is made and what it means to have that power flowing into your life.
So this idea of being connected to Christ, this whole union thing, it didn't just kind of pop up out of nowhere in the New Testament,
It's
right?
certainly not.
There's some backstory.
There's
Okay.
this beautiful thread that you can trace all the way back to the Old Testament.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So think about it, like this concept of one person representing many. So you've got Adam, right?
Adam, yeah.
He acted on behalf of all humanity. Then later you have figures like Abraham, Moses, David.
Yeah, the big names.
Yeah, they're all representing the people of Israel in their relationship with God. And then you have these like hints and whispers about a special individual who would come, like a son of man, a servant of the Lord, someone who would perfectly embody God's purposes.
So it's like these people, they were carrying the weight, the identity for a whole bunch of people.
Exactly. And then the New Testament, it just throws the spotlight on Jesus and shows us that he is the ultimate fulfillment of all of that.
Wow.
So he's the true son of Abraham, the greater Moses, the Messiah, the son of man, the servant of the Lord.
He's it. He's all of it.
He's all of it. So the Old Testament sets up this pattern of representation, and then Jesus enters the scene as the one who perfectly represents us before God.
So that's huge.
And he's the one in whom all of God's promises, they come to their full realization, their yes in him.
So here's where it gets really interesting to me, because Jesus comes as this perfect representative, right? To be part of what God is doing, you have to be connected to him.
Yeah.
That's where those images come in, like the vine and the branches, right?
Yeah, that's such a powerful image.
It
In
is.
John 15, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." And it's not just, a nice poetic metaphor. It's talking about this vital, life-giving connection.
So you can't have any fruit unless you're connected to the vine, right?
Right. It's not possible.
Yeah.
And then you've got Paul, he uses that phrase in Christ all the time. It's like this, like a sphere, this reality where all the amazing benefits of salvation are found. Peterson emphasizes that everything, all the good we receive from God, comes to us precisely because we are in Christ.
Right.
We've moved from being, so to speak, in Adam, where sin and death reigned. Now we're in Christ.
Okay, so we see this idea all over the Bible, this thread that leads us to Jesus. But when theologians sit down and actually try to define union with Christ, like how do they do it? What do they say?
Well, Peterson really leans on John Calvin for this one. He offers this really helpful definition. He says that union with Christ is the work of the Holy Spirit in joining people to Jesus. And because of that, they share in all of his saving benefits.
So the Holy Spirit is the one who does the joining.
Right. And that's key.
Yeah.
This isn't something we can achieve on our own. Like, it's not about our effort or good intentions. It's a work of God's Spirit that brings about this profound joining, this connection to Jesus.
Yeah. So it's more than just kind of intellectually agreeing with Jesus's teaching or even trying to be a good person.
Oh, right. Right.
It's like a real spiritual bond that the Spirit creates.
Exactly. And Peterson even quotes Calvin directly on this. Calvin says that as long as we are outside of Christ, everything that he accomplished for us remains external. It's like it's out there, but it doesn't actually benefit us.
Right. It's like medicine sitting on the counter.
Yes. Perfect analogy. Jesus' death and resurrection, those were historical events, right? But they only become your personal reality when you're grafted into him. That's what union with Christ is, that grafting. It's the channel through which all those blessings flow into your life. Forgiveness, righteousness, adoption, the whole thing. Remember our power cord analogy.
Yes.
Christ provided the power, and union with Christ is what plugs you in.
Okay, so this connection, this union, it's not just between us as individuals and Jesus, kind of one-on-one, right?
Yeah.
Peterson brings in the whole Trinity here.
Right, and this is where it gets really cool. It's like, how does our union with Christ fit into this bigger picture of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
And Peterson explains that we often talk about the Father planning salvation, the Son accomplishing it, and the Spirit applying it, right? But we have to remember that God is one.
Okay.
He's not divided. The actions of the Trinity, they are unified. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they work together perfectly.
Okay, so it's okay to focus on the Spirit as the one who brings about the union, but we don't want to think that the other members of the Trinity are just kind of sitting on the sidelines.
Right, it's not like that. Peterson even points out that the Bible says it was God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And then in Hebrews, it talks about Christ offering himself through the eternal Spirit.
So we can distinguish their roles to help us understand it, but we can never separate them in reality.
That's right. It's a beautiful mystery. And so ultimately, union with Christ means being brought into a living relationship with the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together.
Yeah, that's amazing. And why is this union so essential for us? Like, what problem does it solve?
Well, Peterson gets at the heart of it here. He says our core problem is separation from Christ.
Separation, yeah.
Before we were brought to faith, we were, like Paul describes it in Ephesians 2, we were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope, and without God in the world.
Wow, that's a pretty bleak picture.
It's pretty intense. But he's painting a stark reality there. And that separation, it's not just physical distance, you know. It's a fundamental lack of relationship.
A disconnection.
Yeah, a disconnection from the very source of life and blessing, spiritual life.
It's like being in a completely different country where you can't access all the good things that are available to the citizens, right?
It's a great way to put it. But through Christ's work and by the Spirit's power to unite us to him, those of us who were once far off, we've been brought near by the blood of Christ. And union with Christ is the bridge across that chasm. It's the only way across.
The only way.
And it grants us access to the Father through the Spirit. We're no longer outsiders. We are fellow citizens with God's people, members of his household. Peterson even talks about how this includes Gentile believers, like us.
So not just Jewish people, but everybody who believes.
Right. Like, picture wild olive branches being grafted into the cultivated tree of Israel. We're all brought into the same family, that same vital connection with God.
Okay, so being united to Christ also means being united to the Trinity. One God in three persons. And I think a lot of people, that can feel like a really difficult concept.
Yeah, it's a big one. But Peterson does a good job unpacking it. So we believe in one God who eternally exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And we can distinguish them. You know, the Father is not the Son is not the Spirit, but we never, ever separate them in their being or their work. And that's really important to grasp if we're going to understand what it means to be in union with Christ.
Because when we're joined to Christ, we're not just sort of like attached to one third of the Godhead.
No, not at all.
Right. It's a package deal.
Yeah. It's the fullness of God. Think about the incarnation when the Son became human and Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out. Both of those revealed distinct persons of the Trinity. But it's all building on the Old Testament truth that God is one. And Peterson points out that this triune God has eternally experienced perfect love and fellowship within himself. So when God created, it wasn't out of loneliness or need. It was out of this overflowing abundance of love and goodness that he wanted to share.
And that brings us to this word, this term that I always kind of stumble over, perichoresis. It sounds so technical.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I think theologians just love those big words. Maybe it's job security. Who knows?
Right. But what does it actually mean?
It describes the mutual indwelling within the Trinity. So the Father is in the Son is in the Father, the Spirit is in them both. They completely permeate and interpenetrate one another.
So it's not like they're just existing side by side. They're like totally intertwined.
Exactly. Peterson uses the example of Jesus's baptism. Remember in Matthew 3, you get the Son being baptized, the Father speaking from heaven, and the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. Three distinct persons, yet one God, acting in perfect unity. And this dynamic of mutual indwelling, this perichoresis, helps us to understand our union with Christ, because through the Holy Spirit, we are joined to this interconnected God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that leads to God himself actually dwelling within believers.
Okay, so the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, this isn't just the Spirit kind of being present with us, but this is a way that we actually experience that union with Christ and with the whole Trinity right now in the present.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And while Paul often talks about the Holy Spirit indwelling believers, he also explicitly says that Christ himself dwells in us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and there are even places where he talks about the Father indwelling believers as well.
Hmm.
So it's not just one member of the Trinity. It's the whole triune God making his home within us.
Now, this isn't the same as God just being everywhere in a general sense, right? Like, God is omnipresent.
All right, that's a different concept. God is everywhere. But Peterson distinguishes between God's omnipresence, the fact that he's everywhere, and his special intimate presence in those who believe. So the Father has a unique presence in heaven, the Son is at the Father's right hand, and the Holy Spirit has a special presence with believers.
Okay, so that makes sense.
And remember, Jesus himself promised this, the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. And he also spoke about the Father and himself coming to make their home with those who love him.
So it's personal.
It's deeply personal.
Yeah.
It's this intimate indwelling that signifies our union with God.
It is a lot to take in, isn't it? This idea of the Trinity dwelling in us in this way that kind of mirrors their own eternal relationship. Peterson even says it can feel kind of overwhelming, right?
He does, yeah. And he offers some important clarifications to make sure we don't misunderstand this. First, our union with God and God's indwelling of us, it does not mean that we become divine. We are still creatures. We are distinct from the Creator. Second, the Trinity's mutual indwelling, that is eternal. It's part of who God is. But God's indwelling of us, that begins when we're brought to faith. And third, their indwelling is by nature. It's inherent to their being as God. But God's indwelling of us is an act of grace, and it's received through faith in Jesus.
So we're not morphing into God or anything like that, but we are truly deeply connected to the living God in a way that's hard to fully wrap our minds around.
Right. It's a glorious mystery.
It is. Now, Peterson goes on to describe this union in more detail, and he highlights three key characteristics.
Yeah, he says that union with Christ is definitive, personal, and enduring. Let's unpack each of those.
Okay, let's do it. So, first, definitive. What does that mean?
Peterson says that this union fundamentally defines who we are as God's people. Think about that image that Peter uses where he talks about believers being living stones built into this spiritual house, and Christ is the cornerstone. So, our identity is now bound up with Christ. We were once not a people, but now through union with Christ, we are God's chosen people who have received his mercy.
And he even uses the example of the church in Corinth, right? Which, let's be honest, they had their fair share of problems.
Oh, yeah, they were a mess.
But Paul still addresses them as those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think that's so encouraging because even when we mess up.
Even when we're a hot mess.
Right. That core identity remains.
It's a bedrock truth for believers.
Mm.
You know, despite our struggles and imperfections, that fundamental identity that's defined by our union with Christ, it doesn't vanish. It reminds us that even when we stumble and fall short, we are still in Christ.
Our identity is rooted in him.
It is. And it's not based on our performance. It's based on that connection with Christ.
Okay, so it definitively defines who we are. What about the personal aspect? How is this union a personal experience?
Well, here's where the intimacy of the relationship really comes into focus. And Peterson really draws on John Wesley for this. Wesley makes this helpful distinction between God for us in Christ, that's the objective reality, the historical fact that Jesus died and rose again for our sins, and God in us in the Holy Spirit. That's the personal, intimate experience of that objective truth.
Okay, I see. So it's not just that God did something out there for humanity in general, but now through the Spirit, he's present in here with each believer personally.
Exactly. And to illustrate this, Paul actually uses some really intimate imagery. He even compares it to a husband and wife, that kind of physical union.
Wow. Okay.
He's saying that anyone who's joined to the Lord is one spirit with him.
Yeah.
Peterson points out, like, this is as personal as it gets. God loves you. You belong to him and he is yours. And it's this deep spiritual connection.
Wow.
It's not one-sided. It's a two-way intimate relationship.
That's pretty amazing. And it's a really interesting, maybe even surprising image that he uses to highlight this idea of personal union. Now, finally, the third characteristic, enduring. This isn't a temporary thing, right? This isn't a connection that can be broken.
No way. It's permanent. It's unbreakable. Peterson points to Ephesians 1, where Paul writes that believers were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise when they heard and believed the gospel.
Right.
And notice it says, you were sealed. That's something called the divine passive, which emphasizes that it was God the Father's action.
Mm-hmm.
And the seal itself is the Holy Spirit, the one God promised. And this sealing, this signifies the permanence of our salvation. It's God's guarantee.
So the Holy Spirit isn't just temporary stamp of approval.
No, it's much more than that.
He's the down payment, the first installment that guarantees the full inheritance that's coming later.
Exactly. And Paul reinforces this in Ephesians 4. He urges believers not to grieve the Holy Spirit by whom they were sealed for the day of redemption. So this enduring aspect of our union, it's so strong that not even death can break it.
Mm.
The book of Revelation actually talks about those who die in the Lord.
Yeah.
It's this ongoing connection that continues even beyond this life.
So let's try to summarize this. This whole idea of union with Christ, it's not just a theological idea. It fundamentally defines who we are. It establishes a deeply personal relationship with God, and it creates this bond, this permanent connection that's sealed by the Holy Spirit.
That's it. It's definitive, personal, and enduring.
Through this union, every believer is linked to God's Son forever, and it's secured by the Holy Spirit. And it's how we experience the full reality of salvation. That's mind-blowing. Hopefully you're listening to this and now you have a much clearer picture of what union with Christ really means and why it's so important.
Yeah, it's not just an abstract concept. It's the living reality of your connection to God through Jesus, made possible and sustained by the Holy Spirit.
It really is.
So here's a final thought for you to take with you. As you go about your day, as you face challenges and interact with others, remember this truth about your union with Christ. How does it change how you see your daily walk with God? How does the presence of the Holy Spirit as the seal of this unbreakable union affect how you approach your problems, your relationships, your very sense of who you are? Maybe you could even take some time to reread those passages we talked about today, Ephesians 1 and 2, John 14 and 15. Let these truths about your union with Christ sink deep into your heart. And as you do, I think you'll discover a whole new dimension to your faith. A depth of connection with God that you might not have fully grasped before.
That's good stuff.
Thanks.
Well, that's it for this deep dive. We hope you'll join us next time as we explore another fascinating aspect of the Christian faith. Until then, keep thinking deeply and live connected.
See you next time.